You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith. In 1962, a school bus full of kids spotted a mysterious crime scene in the Arizona desert. An abandoned car, a man and a woman shot in the head, and police were baffled. The case went unsolved for a decade, stone cold, until they arrested a man that no one would have suspected, a man who swore he was innocent, Bill McCumber.
He was a pillar of his community, married, three young sons. No criminal record, not even that proverbial traffic ticket. It's not just a spotless record. He was one of the most admired and revered people in his community.
That's Barry Siegel. He's the author of a new book about the McCumber case called Manifest Injustice. The injustice in the title refers to something that the jury in Bill McCumber's trial never learned. Someone else had confessed to this crime. A sociopath named Ernest Valenzuela told his lawyer, "I committed those murders. I killed that couple." But the lawyer couldn't say anything. Attorney-client privilege. And Valenzuela couldn't say anything because he died in jail.
The law says that a dead client's right, attorney-client privilege, trumps the rights of a defendant in a murder trial.
Nobody could help Bill McCumber. The man who did not admit to the crime went to jail for life. And author Barry Siegel says this was one of those cases where there wasn't enough evidence to prove McCumber's innocence.
They didn't use DNA in evidence back the time he was arrested, of course, but you could have still gone to the physical evidence now and tested it for DNA, except for the fact that all the physical evidence in McCumber's trial was ordered destroyed a few years after his conviction, just as a matter of housekeeping in Maricopa County.
So let's go forward 21 years later. Bill McCumber's been in prison for two decades, and by all accounts, he is a model prisoner. He is in the local JCs. He's sort of a legend in prison, but mostly forgotten about outside of prison. So 21 years later, what happens?
Tom O'Toole was the lawyer who heard Ernest Valenzuela's confession to the murders way, way back in the 1960s. He had always been haunted by the case, always been haunted by his inability to get up and testify about what he had heard. So in 1998, he picked up the phone and called Larry Hammond, the founding director of the Arizona Justice Project, told Larry Hammond, "I heard the confession of the true killer in the McCumber case. McCumber is innocent. You need to take up his case." And that's how the Arizona Justice Project entered the case.
Now, this book was going to have an unhappy ending. The Justice Project tried a couple of times to introduce new evidence to get Bill McCumber out of jail. And for various legal reasons and politics, they never managed to do it. You were set, really, to end this book with a man who says he's innocent spending the rest of his life in prison.
I just wanted to see the insides of this case. I wanted to use this story as a window onto the legal system. And a Hollywood ending, it doesn't happen that often in the legal system. And so I was satisfied to just be able to tell the story of this case, however it ended.
And then?
And then, the most remarkable turn of events. A couple months ago, I had actually finished writing my book. Bill McCumber had tried one last clemency hearing, hadn't succeeded. Then they finally were able to file the petition for post-conviction relief that they had never been able to complete because they just didn't have the right assembly of evidence. And lo and behold, it went to a sympathetic judge. Out of the blue, he granted an evidentiary hearing. That put pressure on the Maricopa County prosecutor's office. If Bill got a new trial, they would never be able to prosecute him because all the evidence had been destroyed. Suddenly, the state wanted to bargain. In early November last year, I flew out to Phoenix to see one of the most remarkable moments of my life. Bill McCumber was brought into the courtroom. He was allowed to plead no contest, and for that, he was released. I watched as the guards unlocked the cuffs, the shackles, the chains, and Bill walked free out of the courtroom. 38 years in prison, 77 years old. Never thought I'd see that day.
Joining us now is Bill McCumber, who is speaking to us from his home. That must feel good to be able to say you're speaking to us from your home.
Most certainly.
Describe what you see outside your home right now. You have picked a place as different as possible from prison.
Well, I'm approximately 5 miles south of the Colorado line in New Mexico, and I'm looking out the kitchen window at the moment. I'm looking across a valley filled with juniper and cedar trees to a range of mountains over about 10 miles away. Snow on the slopes, snow on the ground, and no barbed wire or no wire of any kind interfering with the view.
Now, you were allowed out of prison in the end by pleading no contest. And no contest is a term of technical art, which means that in the eyes of the law, they can still consider you guilty, but you did not admit guilt. How did you decide in your own head that this was the best way to go?
Had I not had any family to consider, if I had only considered myself, I would have never entered the no contest plea. I would have followed the post-conviction relief through to its end, whatever that end might have been.
So you would have died in prison?
I could have, yes. But I did have a family to consider. I had a family who had endured the same thing I had endured for 38 years. I, through the no contest plea, had the option then of spending whatever time I had left with my family, particularly my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. So it was not really an option. It was something that I could not take advantage of.
It seemed like in the end, your story really, really showed each and every flaw in the U.S. justice system from the beginning when you were convicted to the end when you got out, but even got out sort of on this strange, almost technical decision.
Our justice system is severely flawed. There's not liberty and justice for all. There's liberty and justice for those that can afford it. But for the average man, there's no guarantee they're going to get it. All of the legal assistance that I received over the last 12 years since the Justice Project became involved, if it was totaled up, we'd be talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. And it would have been totally impossible to do that had it not been for the gracious efforts of the Justice Project, of the volunteers. It just would not have been possible. That's all there is to it.
So do you feel bitterness about this whole process?
No, no. Bitterness is for fools. Bitterness, vengeance, all of that. There's no saving grace in those things. What I'm doing is looking ahead down the road. I don't look back. It doesn't produce any positive results.
Bill McCumber, now free from prison, is the subject of the new book, Manifest Injustice, written by Barry Siegel, whom we heard from a bit earlier. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Robert, for your interest.
And what are you going to do with the rest of today?
I'm working on a little story for my great-granddaughters. I'm going to finish that up. Then we'll just see what the day brings.
Wow, an unpredictable day. That's a nice change.
Yes, it is.